Democracy is a chorus and it starts with you. Shadow politics.
Let the midnight speak
for the overlooked,
the unheard, the strong and the weak.
Senator Michael D. Brown holding open the door.
Liberty Jones saying
we were silent no more.
From the district streets
to the nation's soul,
every broken out voice
makes the country whole.
Shadow politics.
Turn the dark into sound.
When America listens,
justice comes around.
Good evening and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show that is on a mission to make America think again. I'm your host, Michael D. Brown, United States Senator Emeritus, and along with my amazing co-host, Liberty Jones, we are interviewing the people that are making it happen. Not always in front of the camera, but always ahead of the curve. We're not going to tell you how to feel or who to vote for. We're just putting the information out there because it's what goes on in the shadows that really makes the world go round. So come listen and learn, because a vote is a terrible thing to waste. And now more than ever, we need everyone listening, learning, and engaged if we're going to make America sane again. Got a question? You can call us at 888-627-6008. We have an amazing guest tonight, my friend Steve. And I want to point out that Steve is my friend because I think it's important that we remember that just because somebody's on the other side of things doesn't make them our enemy. These are our friends, our family, the people we work with, and we have to listen to them. You know, my dad used to say, you can't learn anything new from anybody that agrees with you. You need to have different opinions in order to grow and learn. So tonight, I hope we can grow and learn. And I'm here with my amazing co-host, the beautiful, brilliant, and always interesting Liberty Jones. So welcome, Liberty, and welcome, Steve. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Senator Brown, and Liberty. It's a privilege to be here.
All right. You know, I love a man that's willing to suck up. Hey, let me ask you, let's start, Steve. You voted for Donald Trump three times. Why? What is it that you see in him that attracts you? Or have you ever voted for him, as unfortunately we say very often, the lesser of two evils? Is there something that you really find attractive in this man as a politician? And yeah, just tell us your feelings about him.
I think from my perspective, Senator, it's that his policies and getting the job done. I meant everybody, a bunch of politicians from both sides, Republican, Democrat, Independent, they seem to promise the world, but they get nothing done. I remember when Donald first came into office, he was a businessman. Obviously, I've been following Mr. Trump, you know, for many, many years. He's been one of my idols since I was a little kid. And just the business side of it, what he's done for New York and everything like that, I wanted it. The first time I voted for him, I wanted an outsider. I was done. I was done with the rhinos. I was done with listening to what the Democrats had. I wanted an outsider that could come in and get things done. And he did.
Well, you did get a few things done. You got some good things done and some mean things done too. But Liberty, do you have a question for our guest before?
Yeah. So first I wanted to thank you for such a beautiful introduction, and you are the most brilliant. Thank you, Steve, too, for being here. I have a question for you. If you wanted somebody different, why didn't you look at independent candidates?
Can you name me an independent candidate?
Well, I'm a little biased.
Bernie! We're going to get on to that in a second.
We'll get that conversation later, Senator Brown.
Yeah, we will.
Okay, my next question then would be, you know, out of all of the things, good and bad, that Donald Trump has achieved in his presidency terms, What to you was most marking that you think will be in the history books in 150 years?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think he's made an impact. Obviously, I know this is not going to go well with you guys on immigration. I think there's a way to get into the United States. I think there's a fair way to get in. I don't believe in border crossings or coming in here illegal, right? However, with that being said, I do realize that, people who have established themselves here for 20 years, 25 years, 15 years, whatever, the grandmas, the grandpas, I get it. They've been here. They're Americans. I believe they're Americans. I believe they love our country. But you know what? There's some bad guys out there that don't love our country that are here. That's one
Well,
thing I think that he'll be is immigration. Sorry, go ahead.
no, I was just gonna say that I understand his sentiment, but I just want to point out, and I think a lot of people feel that way. I think if he's seen as having any great accomplishment, it's certainly that. He certainly closed down the border, no doubt about that. But I just like to point out that it's my humble opinion that most of the people that came into America came in here in the terms that we would call illegal today. They didn't come through Ellis Island. I mean, many of them did, but most of them came, many of them came walking across the border. And the thing that I object to, and I wish you could tell me what you think of this. The thing that I object to is the characterization by this administration that these people are murderers and rapists. They're not. They're your grandfather and my grandfather, and they're just like everybody else. So what do you think? Do we need to vilify them in order to get people to stand up and say enough is enough? That's the part that I think most of us object to.
Yeah, I think that there are, okay, not everybody's a murderer and a rapist and everything like that. I will say that, right? However, with that being said, like we discussed last week or 2 weeks ago, there was a mother of five that was killed, murdered, raped in Maryland, and he was an illegal immigrant that had been deported 3 times. And he came back and he raped and murdered our American citizens. I don't like that. That really irritates me. That's what turns me off with the Democrat Party, that they don't realize that they're butchering and murdering our American citizens. And I'm not saying Americans don't do that either. They do. However, right? There are, it's like you guys are saying, and I'm not saying you directly, but the Democratic Party is saying that, hey, there are no rapists. Hey, there are no murderers out there, right? But even though there's proof that they released half the people from El Salvador came from their jails, right, and came here,
There's no proof of that.
Well,
Half the
there.
people from El Salvador were released from jails. I mean, this is just stuff they put out there to fire people up. But yeah, I agree. I think what liberals are saying, I know that liberty's chomping at the bit to ask a good question, but let me just say that I think that what we're saying is they don't rape and murder any more than the people that are already here. We understand that yes, there are, and there are absolutely some hideous crime. But the danger that I think you run when you get into that, when you start talking about that, is that we can move on to other things that the Republicans say. Only mean people, only criminals kill people with guns. That's not true. Most people in America that are killed with guns are killed by law-abiding citizens. Everybody that's ever tried to kill President Trump has been a law-abiding citizen. They have no criminal records. So, both sides do it, and it's wrong. Maybe guns and immigration are like comparing apples and oranges, but it's the same sentiment that moves on both sides. Go ahead, Liberty. I know I'm interfering with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I completely agree with you. The last thing I would want in our country is to have people wreaking havoc, increasing crime. I used to work against gun violence, I understand. However, I think that we're taking a needle in a haystack to create a greater narrative. So the question I have to ask you is, when was the first time that you felt directly affected by immigrants and that you felt that illegal immigrants were affecting your liberties in this country?
That's another good question you asked me. You're full of fire today.
Well, that's that we need somebody on the show that's smart, so that's why she's here. Go
Yeah.
ahead.
Geez. I would probably say when I was a kid, I've had, I grew up in California. I grew up in a pretty tough area. I've had guns drawn on me at the time from illegal immigrants. They were illegal, and I knew they were illegal. But back in that time, no one really gave a crap. Sorry, I don't know if I could cuss or not, but no one really cared because it was the early 70s and 80s, and just they were everybody was just flowing in. At that time, it's a different lifestyle now. Personally, I don't feel attacked right now, but you know what? I think about my youth. I think about my kids. I think about the jobs, the special benefits that they don't get, that Democrats just want to give all this money to illegal immigrants. The people that come in from Afghanistan and they came in from Pakistan and they came in from Somalia and you name it, right? They give them money. You know what's funny is I was married before my first marriage, right? And my father-in-law was actually Polish, and he was from Poland, and he was legal here, right? He had a green card and everything. He told me one time, he says, Steve, he says, I may not I you you know I may be an illegal immigrant, immigrant, he says, but I get more benefits, more money than you do as an American. Let that sit in for you for a second. Where are my tax dollars? And I'm not saying I make a great amount of money, but I make a pretty decent living, right? Where are my taxpayer dollars going to? That's another thing.
It doesn't go to illegal
So,
immigrants. I mean, Steve, they just don't get any money. What money do they get? What
they get
money?
free housing vouchers. They get
No,
free
no,
housing
no, no,
vouchers.
no. You can't get health
They
care in
get.
America if they walk into an emergency room, Steve, which is what the Republicans always consider free health care. If they walk into an emergency room, yes, they get free health care because you're not allowed to throw somebody out of an emergency room. But they don't qualify for Medicare, they don't qualify for Medicaid, they don't qualify for any benefits. You have to
They
be a
don't qualify it, but
citizen.
they get it. They
No, where do
have
they
it.
get them? They
Not,
may
you
get a
tell me.
benefit by going into a nonprofit shelter, but you cannot get, look, if you're not an American citizen, you can't apply for benefits. There's no benefits to apply for. So this is a myth.
Why
And
can't let me
there
ask
are
you a
certain.
question, Senator Brown? Let me
Okay,
ask
go
you a
ahead.
question. Why can you, and this is maybe you don't know the answer, but why can you get a driver's license in California? Why is
Why?
California giving out free driver's license to illegal immigrants that come into
To
our country who aren't citizens?
protect people on the road, because in order to get a driver's license, you have to qualify. You can't just walk into a place and get a driver's license. You have to take a driver's test, or you have to transfer a license from another jurisdiction in which you pass a written test and a competency test, a driving test. And that's why you give a driver's license to an immigrant, because you don't want them driving out there not knowing what the hell's going on, making it dangerous for the rest of us. And that at least that's why we do it in DC. But
But don't you have to be a citizen, a United States citizen, to officially hold a driver's license, Senator Brown?
no, and that's why this draconian approach to proving you're a citizen at a voting booth is not only against the Constitution, but it's against everything America stands for, because they will not accept your driver's license. And the reason they will not accept your driver's license is because you can get a driver's license without being a citizen. So you have to prove citizenship. Now, I don't know how you prove your citizenship. I happen to have a passport, But when my passport was expired a few years ago, I wouldn't have had any way of proving that I was a citizen. I don't have my birth certificate. I'm 72 years old. I don't know where the hell my birth certificate is. You know, I don't have a Social Security card. I had to actually get one in order to get my new driver's license. But yeah, that was the thing. I had to prove I was a citizen to get my new driver's license. I had to go with a Social Security card with this new security thing that, you know the license I'm talking about, where you're flying the plane, used for flights and stuff. I had to prove I was a citizen. So no, this is a narrative. Look, everybody thinks this is going on because it makes sense that people would come to America because there's free money, but there isn't free money. And we just spent $100 billion attacking a country that we had no interest in attacking. They hadn't done anything to the United States. We just attacked them. And that's $100 billion. That's more than the entire welfare system put together. And there is no welfare in America anyway. There's aid to families with dependent children. So this is a myth that people put out there, and it makes sense, you know, to them. But people aren't getting, that's just not true. They're not getting a lot of money. So what do you think about spending all that money to go to open the Strait of Hormuz, which was open before we started this nonsense? What do you think about things like that? You voted for a man. And this is a good question, I think, for I'd like to know this from Trump supporters. You voted for a man who said he wasn't going to get involved in foreign wars. So far, he's gotten involved. He set the Middle East on fire. He's invaded Venezuela. He's talked about taking over Cuba and Greenland and making Canada the 51st state. What do you think about a man that promised he wouldn't get involved and now is involved everywhere? That doesn't matter.
That's a loaded question there.
It is.
So Venezuela is one story, right? Venezuela, we went in there, we took the dictator out. I mean, this, you guys admit, you know, our president, right, my president, has done things that no other president has done or has the balls to go do it, right?
He took out the Ayatollah of
Iran, right? Nobody took out the Ayatollah. There's been talk about removing him. Right? But that man actually gave the orders and they took him out, right? They also took out the dictator down in Venezuela, right? Without any, you know, that's amazing to me how you could just go get a dictator in the middle of the night. God bless our troops. You know, I love our military. We have the strongest, best military in the world. No doubt. I mean, who could go into Venezuela and take a dictator out of his room? I don't know where the heck he was staying. I think he was in his bedroom, and take him out and bring him back to the United States without anybody being harmed, right?
Well,
in regards to Iran, right, Israel is one of our partners, allies, right? We've got to protect the Middle East. If Iran has a nuclear weapon or they're enhancing nuclear weapons and they want to take out Israel, what's going to happen? You tell me, what's going to happen?
I'll tell you, World War III will break out.
World War III will break out. You want to go bomb Israel? Go bomb it.
Look, as far as that goes,
FAFO, Senator Brown, you want to go bomb Israel? We won't be here.
I don't want to bomb.
That's the lie that we need to protect our allies. How are we going to do the Middle East? The Middle East has always been an issue for Obama, for Bush, for Biden.
Steve, wait a second. It was an issue for Jesus Christ. It's been an issue for 2,000. It's been an issue for 2,000 years. Now, look, the Iranians didn't have a nuclear weapon. We made sure that No, we do know that because Donald Trump said. Yes, he did. He said they didn't have a nuclear weapon and that we were trying to get rid of their nuclear ambitions, which is a contradiction in terms. There's no way to get rid of someone's ambitions. If you want to do something and I come over and step on you, that doesn't mean you're not going to still have the ambition to do it. You might back up. The Iranians haven't given up any of their ambitions for a nuclear program. We didn't get rid of the Ayatollah. We replaced him with his son, which is even more radical. We closed
the streets. His son's not running the show. His son's not running the show. I know that.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
As much as anybody. I mean, the country's in chaos. And, you know, that's another thing. They don't know what they're doing. They went over there and they killed all the leadership. And then they came out 2 weeks later and said, we got nobody to negotiate with. Duh. Yeah, of course you got nobody to negotiate with. You killed everybody. So now they've got the younger, more radical son. Everybody's saying there's no regime change. There's been no regime change. It's just been a transition to a new regime. And if they've done so much, how come they come up against this little country with our massive, amazing military, which I agree with you is amazing, the most amazing fighting force on the face of the planet, and we still haven't beat them? Because these guys don't know what they're doing. That's my opinion. But
you know what?
But you're okay with the fact that he's out involved in foreign wars.
I'll tell you why. Because he said he wasn't going to put boots on ground in Iran. If we had boots on ground in Iran, I think this would be over. I don't want boots on ground in Iran. I don't agree with that, having a son being in the military. You know, but you know,
well, there you go. And you know what?
I mean, let me ask you a question. What do you think about him taking out somebody that other presidents had said they were going to take out? Hell, even Jimmy Carter couldn't take him out in 1979. That's how far back this goes.
No. Look, you're talking about it goes
far back.
Was working with Jimmy Carter in 1979. That's what I was doing. And they took our hostages in the embassy. That's absolutely true. And they've been screaming death to America for 40 years. But you know what? We've been screaming death to Russia for the last 40 years. And we've been screaming death to North Korea. And nobody's bombing Washington, D.C. So this is something that people, you know, these are lies that have been woven together to justify
this war. Death to Russia or death to North Korea. In fact, this president has tried making peace with North Korea. He went to North Korea when no other presidents would even do that to talk to Mr. Kim, President Kim, right?
President
He's got a pretty decent relationship with Putin. He has a pretty decent relationship with Putin, although Putin's kind of like not following through on his promises in regards to stopping the war over there. So, I mean, he's doing other stuff that no other president has done. And I doing that, if you're telling me Bernie Sanders is going to go do that, I'll take a look at Bernie Sanders in 2020.
Well, you know,
I
don't think so.
I like to bet it here. I completely agree with you that he's doing things no other president would do. I think a little bit he's a celebrity. I also think that, you know, to go back a little bit, you want to talk about taxpayer money? I would love to. What about the National Guard? What about the $200 that became $400 million to build a ballroom bunker? What about the reflecting pool emergency?
By the way, that's been stopped by a judge.
Okay, well, that's great to hear. I hope immigration changes are stopped by a judge too. But, you know, as I digress, I have to say, I'm not fully under the impression that it is the United States' responsibility or, you know, business to intervene in the domestic politics of other nations, especially regime changes. I don't think that's our responsibility. And I'd also like to add in, actually, we have a comment from a guest. Sharon from Pennsylvania says, just because President Trump makes a statement doesn't mean it's the truth. And there's also a question here we have from our guests, from our fans that say, how does the U.S. have the strongest military in the world? Our military is depleted right now.
Yeah. Do we still have the strongest military?
That's a good question. Are you kidding me? We still have the strongest. Our military is not depleted. How are we depleted? Depleted in what? Missiles, warheads, drones?
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about? Troops?
All of those.
No.
Missiles,
ships,
warheads,
airplane?
Drones. Yes.
No, we're doing fine.
We're still,
I
would agree, we're still very strong. But, you know, but to follow up on what Liberty's saying, why Venezuela? Why not India? Why not North Korea? Why not the Soviet? Why not Russia? Why not lots of other places where there are dictators? Why Venezuela? You know what? I can tell you why Venezuela. Because North Korea doesn't have any oil. Neither does India. This is what these guys are after. Donald Trump is $1 billion richer than when he started.
They're not after oil. They're more after the minerals right now and stuff like that.
Well, whatever. They're not after spreading democracy around the world. I can tell you that. But how about his profiteering? How about that he's phenomenally more wealthy than when he started, and that he sold Bibles, he sold steaks, he sold steak knives, he sold influence even. He said the Republican National Committee sent out things saying if you gave him money to his campaign, you would get inside information. He sold colleges, he's selling cards, he's selling coins. Why should the president of the United States have a side hustle? You don't think that's horrible that he's making money on the side?
Doesn't bug me.
Okay. Well,
I don't understand what the point of that, why it upsets the Democrat Party so much that he does that. It seriously, it doesn't bug me. All I'm worried about
is... he does it illegally.
I don't...
He does it illegally. He sells influence.
Our military, right? That's the things that I'm worried. The stock market's doing pretty decent.
Oh, rich people are doing great, let me tell you.
Took office.
I'd like to quote Military Times that says U.S. munitions depleted by Iran war will take years to restore.
I mean, those are just the facts. And you know, you'll never hear that on Fox News. And maybe you'll hear it too much on CNN. I don't know. So you're basically saying
we're screwed. If we go to war with China, we're going to lose that war.
If we go to war with China, it's not going to have anything to do with munitions. It's all going to have to do with cyber warfare. That's the next battleground, cyber warfare. But with somebody like China. And if we go to war with India, they have a standing army that's twice the size of ours. You know, there are a lot of places in the world that are great military powers. And I would just say that, unfortunately, our military is being misused by these people. So let me ask you this question. What do you think about somebody, all these people that have no experience, like the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, or Pam Bondi, or our TV judge, Pirro, or Patel, or Jared Kushner? What do you think of these people that are around
Jared's not an elected official, right? He's not in office.
No, but he gets to do stuff. It's crazy. Yeah.
I think he's doing a wonderful job, right? He's doing a great job in regards to Pete. You know, I think Pete's doing a great job, and he does have experience, right? He did serve in the military.
Experience?
He's like Donald. He's an outsider. He's getting rid of all the stuff, all the old people that have been in office, right? He's cleaning house, right?
Why does this make sense?
I'm not going to talk about Pam. Pam did a wonderful job, but she's not in office anymore, right? We can't talk about Pam.
Yeah, she stopped kissing his ass.
She stepped down, right? So, you know, she did a great job while she was there.
But let me ask you, why do you think, what if you came to my hospital and I said, I know you have a problem, you're 60, but you're going to love this hospital. We got rid of everybody with experience. We got rid of all the old doctors. We got rid of all the old surgeons. Everybody here is just out of medical school. Come on in. Good luck. I mean, why is getting rid of old people? I'm an old person, damn it. Why is getting rid of old people? Why is that smart? Why is it smart? If we have the greatest country in the world, these are the people that made it the greatest country in the world, not the new kids on the block.
You're basically, so Liberty, right? Because I'm going to call you out here real quick. So how do you feel about that? Being you're youthful, right? Are you saying that the youth shouldn't be promoted up? That the youth don't have values and ideas that we should just ignore because we're an older crowd? I don't agree with that. No.
I don't think it's that the youth shouldn't be promoted up, but I think the only people who will promote the youth is the elders.
Yeah, there you go. I mean,
correct.
It takes you.
And that's what they're doing right now.
Well, yeah, but you know what? There's certain things where experience really matters. And look, there's nobody in the world that doesn't want a more efficient government, doesn't want to get rid of waste and fraud and all these things that people constantly talk about. But also, there is no bureaucracy in which there is not fraud and abuse. The military is the perfect example. I used to be a person that was in charge of a public interest group called the Defense Budget Project. They were the people that discovered we were paying $800 for toilet seats for airplanes and $1,500 for metal screws that you could buy at a hardware store for 60 cents. There's abuse in the bureaucracy all along the way. The overrun on the M1 tank was more than all the welfare fraud that the Republicans had said had gone into, had happened since the beginning of the time that the government started to take care of people. There was more cost overrun in the M1 tank. So, you know, which is a weapon system that's not widely used, I don't think. I'm not an expert, but I don't think it is.
So, anyway, Senator Brown, excuse me, sir. I want to change the topic a little bit because I know I'm running out of time. But can you tell me the difference between what is a Democrat and what is a Democrat socialist? Because I don't have a clue. And number two, why do they not get along in your party?
Well, we are, I must say, I'm proud to say that, as Will Rogers said, we belong to no organized political movement. We're Democrats. That's the first thing. We're not all alike. The Republicans are much more homogeneous than we are. But that's one problem. But the difference is that democratic socialism just is a feeling that the government should do more in providing basic services. Now, a lot of people believe that we should have a laissez-faire government, that, you know, that business can take care of a lot of stuff. Democratic socialists believe that the primary responsibility of government is to provide a stable basis for the citizens. And there have been very, very successful democratic socialist countries like Sweden and the Netherlands and Norway. You know, people look to that as a model. Now, there's smaller countries. There are all sorts of difficulties with it. But that's the basic difference. It's not that they believe in people mistake it for, confuse it with words like communism, which Donald Trump uses all the time. But communism and socialism are just as close as the Republican Party and fascism are. I mean, they're two totally different things. So when the president's out there saying we're electing communists in New York City and we're gonna crack down on Washington D.C. if they elect that democratic socialist, which they will, by the way. So when he calls them communists, it's not. You know, he's trying to reframe the argument, but they're not. They're just like every other Democrat. And the classic one is Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is a classic democratic socialist. He believes that the government should provide basic health care, basic housing, all the things you need to get along in society. And personally, I'm a democratic socialist. I believe it's more important as we go along and we get engaged with things like AI, that you do have these basic services, because a lot of them are going to be lost, I think, in the future. So that's my understanding of democratic socialism. And that's the difference. See, Democrats don't get along. I mean, they don't get along. You know, I mean, it's half our problem. We say the old canard in politics is that Democrats fall in love and Republicans fall in line. So, you know, that's a big difference, too.
And how's that going to affect the upcoming elections, you think?
I think that given a competent opposition, there wouldn't be a single Republican that could get elected right now. But I also think that the Democratic Party's brilliant talent for snatching defeat from the jaws of victory may actually come into play. And also, when you're talking about congressional elections, you're talking about things at a different level. So people, you know, what Donald Trump is doing has an effect, but it's not the only thing. It's not the only thing. There are people that believe in the Republican Party and believe in the Republican, having Republicans in Congress. I believe in having Republicans in Congress. So yes, the Republicans, I think the Democrats are going to take back the House. I think there's a slim shot they could take back the Senate, but I think they'll definitely take back the House. That's my prediction. Of course, I'm a guy that said Jimmy Carter would win. Go ahead.
I have a question for you, kind of building on this conversation. So what's one criticism of President Trump that you would think is fair? And how do you believe it should influence a voter who agrees with most of his policies like yourself?
Give me an example of a criticism.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
We already talked about immigration, because obviously ICE, that's a big one right there, right?
Well,
I'm beating
one
a dead
that you think
on
is fair, a criticism of President Trump that you believe is fair, or is he just perfect?
I don't have a criticism of him at all.
How about he doesn't say anything mean about white people, only people of color? Doesn't that bother you?
I don't believe that.
You don't believe that?
I mean, the only criticism I would probably say that he could improve on, right, and this is just my opinion, is in regards to immigration and stuff like that, is like I said before, people who've been in this country 20, 25 years that are paying taxes and everything like that, I think there should be a process in regards to how they could become legal citizens. There, I said it.
Okay.
And that's kind of like he gets criticized for that, you know, but that's just my opinion.
How about that he has no respect for women?
And that
he calls journalists, female journalists, pity, and he calls them stupid. And he goes, what about that? I mean, shouldn't he have some decorum as a leader of the free world that he throws a wrestling match? And you talk about things that are fake. You want to tell me wrestling, that cage fighting, is something that we should put on a pedestal in front of the White House? I mean, that's just horrible. I was horrified by that.
I'm glad you brought that up. I did attend the UFC. I had the time of my life. It was open to all American citizens. It wasn't party, Republicans, Democrats, independents, socialists. Whoever you were, you could have easily went and applied for a lottery system to get a ticket, right? I had a great time. I mean, I had, and you know, seriously, I have a lot of Democratic, probably more Democratic friends than I do Republicans. It's just the truth, right? But I can tell you that a majority of my Democratic friends said, you know what? I talked a lot of crap about this being on the right house grounds, but it is probably one of the best events I ever seen in my life.
Well,
it was a show. It was beautiful. I was presented.
Why not a cockfight? Why a cage fight? Why not a cockfight? Why not a dog fight? Why not put two?
Come to a cockfight or a dog fight. Come on.
No, I'm happy you had fun. One thing I will say, I agree. Trump is a great entertainer. He was when he was best friends with Epstein as well. Don't you see that as a point of criticism?
Oh, I no comment, no proof.
Okay. Well, let me just say that cage fighting, okay, what you saw on the lawn of the White House, and I'm glad you had a good time, but that's not a sport like pugilism. That's not a fight. That's not Muhammad Ali. That's not Leon Spinks. That's not what it is barbaric. And
Okay, but yet, as
that's the same
Republicans.
place. That's the same place where children come to roll Easter eggs. Okay. And by the
Yeah, and
way,
let's talk about that. Easter eggs, when Biden was in office with having the LGBTQ there, right? Taking off their shirts, right? They're supposed to be women and they're flashing their boobies to children while they're out there. That's right.
I never saw
That's
that.
not right.
Nobody
And
ever saw
you hear a
that.
bunch of
Look.
Republicans saying that. I got a picture I can send you.
Yeah,
Here's a
please.
picture of it. I
But
will send
please,
you the picture after the show.
please,
But
because
seriously, seriously, you
that's.
know, we had fun. We majority of the people there were Republicans, I will say. We had a good time, but you did not hear as much crying from us when it came to all the parties on the White House lawn.
Yeah, but they were they we didn't pave over the Rose Garden. We didn't tear off half of the White House. They were distinguished events. This guy is really inside him, and he loves giving the red meat to his constituents. But if you think this man has any class at all, I mean, it's crazy. He does not. He's not distinguished. The leaders of the world laugh at us. Do you want to go
Oh.
watch a video? Watch the Danish parliament laughing when he talks about buying Greenland. You know, the French president made fun of him at an international conference. This man is a buffoon. Okay. You say you admired him as a businessman. He's gone bankrupt six times. Name me another businessman that's gone bankrupt six times. You couldn't. You would have to do great research because he's had enough money that he's been able to recover each time. But he's gone bankrupt. The man paid $750 in taxes in 2017. And now he's suing because somebody leaked that. Do you think that's fair that he pays 700?
Yeah,
You talk
I
about
do.
paying the taxes?
He's a smart man. If I could do what he can do, or you could do what he could do, you would do it.
No,
I
I
would do it.
wouldn't. No, sir, I wouldn't. I
Okay.
have a moral compass. I wouldn't cheat on my taxes to screw other people. I wouldn't do that. And that's what he's done. He has not
I
taken
don't believe that.
advan he has not taken advantage of the tax law. He's lied. He's been taken to
It's
court and
just not
convicted.
him. Let's talk about Pelosi. Let's talk about all your rich people on the left
Why?
side that have done
Oh,
the
you know what?
same
You, whoa,
tax.
whoa, 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 wait a second. You
Now
don't
they
like
do some, right?
You don't like Nancy Pelosi? Don't elect her president. You don't like her? Don't elect her president. We're not talking about Nancy Pelosi. We're talking a man that's supposedly the leader of the free world. And that's the difference between and Joe Biden's not
You
going to
say
be
he's a
president
laughing
anymore.
stock? Let me just say he's a laughing stock, right?
He
But he
is.
puts the fear of God in our enemies. Let me tell you that much.
The
No one's gonna
Iranians
mess
are
with us
kicking
when no
our
one's
ass.
gonna mess with
They
us. Only
look,
fear.
Iran is
Why
kicking
did
our ass.
Putin
The
invade? Why did Putin invade? Because Biden was in office. Putin was wanting to invade, and back earlier than that. But he invaded
no,
because
no,
he
no,
knew
no,
Sleepy
look.
Joe
You
wasn't
need
going to
to
do
you
nothing.
look, my
He posted
Steve.
a video of Obama as a monkey, and he also posted a
Yes,
picture of him as God.
I've
He
never
is
seen that.
yes,
Haven't
and one
seen
of
it.
the people. And one of the people at your fight called the only American first lady a man. The guy that was glorified, that piece of trash, called the only African American first lady in the history of the United States a man, publicly, to disgrace her. And
But did Trump,
luckily,
did
she
those
has
words come
enough.
out of our POTUS's mouth? No, it didn't.
No,
They came out of a
those words
fighter's
came
mouth.
from the event where you had so much fun. And that's what I'm saying. It's not a matter about having fun. It's a matter of what's dignified and what's not for that particular place. You know,
the man, there's a man. Transgender people showing their boobs on the White House ground is dignified, right?
What's that got to do with him?
I got another question to ask you, since you're on the subject.
Don't reelect Joe Biden. If you don't like that, don't reelect Joe Biden.
I know. I'm just saying. Joe's out of it. Joe's never coming back. Thank you. We're done with Joe, right? We're moving forward. That's great. That's one thing I hate, too, is when they come into office and each president blames each party. You know,
right,
it's like,
there you
got the job now, you do it. So
well,
it's like, you know, stop blaming people, you know?
Okay, well, now you're in the
minority. You know, I got a question.
Okay,
I got a question
just
for you,
let me
Senator.
Tell you yep. that his popularity right now is 34% in the latest Reuters poll. That's the lowest popularity of any president in modern history. So,
and he's had the highest popularity too at one time. You guys forget.
No,
that.
He didn't. He never had the highest.
Yes, he did.
He had higher than the other people that he was running against, but never the highest. Never the popularity rating.
You know, people don't like higher gas prices, right? We don't like it. I don't like it, right? He's working on that.
Not.
You know, he doesn't.
Not.
People
yeah.
don't
By
like the war in Iran, right?
Course.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, but we get oil. We have our own reserves here too, and we get oil.
Doesn't matter how much oil you have. Oil is not gas, okay? And you can pump all the oil in America, but you don't have the refinery capacity to put out any more gasoline now than you ever did, okay? And it takes 10 years to build a refinery. So it doesn't matter how much oil you pump. You're just going to keep it in barrels. You can't refine it. So this is another myth that they put out there, that we're energy self-sufficient. We're not. And global warming is not a hoax. The world is falling apart environmentally, but this guy wants to dig more coal. You know, look, the policies that they're putting forth are not going to hurt me at all. They may not hurt you if you have money in the stock market. They're going to hurt Liberty Jones. They're going to hurt my children, and they're going to hurt your children. And that's the thing that bothers me most about this.
But
man.
Senator Brown, we are doing our part as a country in regards to that, right? What is China doing? One of the leading producers of the world, right? India, right? They've got those billions and billions of people. They've got polluted rivers. What are they doing? There's only
They're
so
doing
much
a lot.
Can do.
They're doing a lot. They're doing a lot. Let me ask. They're doing a lot. They're very environmentally conscious, but yes.
The U.S. can only do so much, Senator Brown. Do you know that the sand, do you know we're having a sandstorm from the Sahara coming and invading Florida and the East Coast this week? I mean, how do we stop that? We can't stop that.
Well, you can't stop that. But if you put if you take the Industrial Revolution, okay, the Western countries, including the United States, have done more polluting of the world than all the other countries on the face of the planet combined. Okay, so we have no right, and it's true, there's only so much we can do, okay? But calling it a hoax is not the place to start, right? We could be putting money into solar energy. We could be putting more money into things like that. But the point is, to get out there and say it's not happening is and when it's his job to be a leader, that is not leadership. Go ahead. You got something you want to say, Liberty?
You know, what I have to say is that at the end of the day, I know our time is running out. I truly believe we are all on the same team. We want the best for our country. And I think we're wronged by media. I think we're wronged by false narratives. I think we're wronged by fake news. And I think truly we want the same thing. I was watching a video of Mitt Romney when he was running against Obama, and he was such a morally sound individual. He would speak great.
And by the way, I voted for Mitt.
And I'm happy you did. You know, I think that's the beauty of politics in the United States. I think that's the beauty of being such an intelligent country. And I think the problem with Trump, you said it yourself, is that he loves to shift blame. And the politics of this country have never been as polarized as they are today, maybe in part because, you know, Trump is a celebrity. He knows what to say to gain attention. And my question to you is, do you think that's right? Do you think the best way to approach this is doing what he does and constantly shifting blame to a different person for national debt, for, you know, military losses, being that he's only throwing other people under the bus? Do you think that's the most diplomatic thing to do? How can we move away from this and create an America where everyone feels free?
Yeah, like I said before, it's like I believe that we need to, everybody, both parties needs to get away from that. It's like what happened in the past happened in the past. You're on the clock. Let's get things done. You know, Democrats and you know, hey, we do it. He does it. But so did Biden. Biden did it a lot to him, right? They came after his family and everything like that. They blamed everything on Trump. Oh, I can't, the price, you know, they are so high because of Trump and this and that. It works the same way for Republicans too, you know? So I'm done with that. I'm done with the blame. Let's get together. Let's fix the issue. That's all I want to say, you know? But hey, Senator Brown, I got a question for you. Something happened yesterday that really bugged me in San Francisco, right? I don't know if you read the news, and I know our friend didn't tell you about this topic, right? But a congressman was attacked during an LGBTQ parade, right? He is a known Democrat. His name is Senator Wiener, right? I'm not making a joke. That's his name. And he was attacked just because of its stance on Israel. Why do the Democrats hate Israel so much? Why are they, like, they're saying the pro-PLO, you know, your stance on Israel, we don't believe you, you've done wrong. And he had supported your party hardcore out in San Francisco. So I was really taken back by that. And I just want to get your opinion on that.
Well, let me ask you, first, let me say that there's are Palestinians in the Democratic Party. There are people that have come from that part of the world. Probably
but
not.
These guys
there's
weren't
many
Palestinians
in the Republic.
That asked. They're
right.
White homosexuals that went after him, transgenders that went after him in regards to him supporting Israel.
Well, you're basically saying
your party cannot support Israel anymore.
Well, that's not true. Most of our party does support Israel. There are more Jews maybe in the Democratic Party than there are in the Republican Party. I don't know, but both parties pretty much support Israel. We don't like what's happened when Israel went went after the Palestinians after they did that horrible attack. What they did, killing literally thousands of women and children, was against what a lot of people stand for. Now, you can say, and I understand, they walked in, they started it with the Israelis. The Israelis said to themselves, we're not going to let happen what happened 75 years ago when these people tried to wipe us off the planet, and we're going to make sure it never happens again, even if we have to kill every damn one of them. So there are a lot of people that side with that and say, yeah, they shouldn't have started it. But there are a lot of people that say killing women and children is never right. And I don't know what transgenders have to do with anything. Why is it relevant that the people that attacked this guy were transgenders? And why are you getting
that's
that?
That's what the news article said. The news article said the transgenders came after him for their support against Israel.
Well, transgenders as a rule, sir, are very passive. They're not particularly aggressive.
It was a trans march.
Okay.
In Dolores Park.
Trans march. But that doesn't mean they were transgenders. That doesn't mean they were transgender. I have a gay daughter that would show up for something like that to support them, and she's not transgender. You know, I mean,
it goes back to your party attacking each other again. It seems like it's a pattern to me.
Yes, it
the
is.
The Democrats attacking the Democrats.
Yes, because we're
I don't get
kid.
It. I don't get it. I don't know why they would attack this gentleman that has done nothing but bend over backwards and supported these folks. And yet they attack him on Israel.
You're a Trump supporter. You're a Trump supporter. You think Donald Trump's a good man. And three people from your party have already tried to murder him. Three people from your party have taken shots at him with weapons. Three people from your party have actually killed other people trying to kill him. So what the hell's up with that? You guys all get along. And on that note, that was a saucy answer.
Also,
I want to ask you one last thing. What do you want to say that we haven't asked? Before we leave, what do you want to say that we haven't asked? Anything?
Are you talking to me? I'm sorry.
Yeah. You. Is there something that you want to say that we didn't?
Thank you for having me on, Senator Brown. Thank you, Liberty, for having
you.
Me on.
Thank you for being brave enough to go up against Liberty Jones.
I think we all want the same thing. You know, I just wish we could come together as a country. And, you know, I could understand, you know, more of your point of views. Thank you for educating me on what the difference is between a Democrat and a Democrat, you know?
Yeah, and maybe if we have more of these discussions, we will. So thank you very much, Steve. And thank you, Liberty Jones. And, you know, we leave you with a song every week. So this one goes out to Steve. This is Donald Trump's favorite rock and roll group, from what I understand. Here's Macho Band by the Village People. See you next week.
Come with your questions.
Come with your history.
Come with your hope.
America is calling.
This time, we listen.
Shadow politics.
Make the blue notes rise.
Put the unheard city right before the nation's eyes.
Senator Michael D. Brown.
Liberty. Side.
Turning conversation into a rising tide.
From statehood dreams to the truth we defend. From the stranger at the door to the voice of a friend.
Shadow politics.
Let the whole room sing.
Representation
is where freedom begins.
Leave one light on the window tonight.
Leave one chair open.
Leave one question bright.
The shadows on him.
They're waiting to be heard.
Sunday night, we give the people.